Good Easter morning to you. We pray to Babaji, Jesus Christ, Lahiri Mahashai, Swami Sri Yukteswarji, Master, Mother, Saints and Sages of all religions. Be with us today as we put our complete and total attention upon Thee alone. Lift us into the eternal Christ consciousness, which is an inherent part of our entire being. I'd like to read this morning from the posting. May Christ be risen in you today is an Orthodox Christian greeting on Easter morning. John Durkin wrote to me in an email. He sent those greetings on to me, and in turn, I send them on to you. I thought it a beautiful blessing, and contains in it the implicit message that the Christ story is every man's hidden potential. The Christ principle is part and parcel of the human being's makeup. How remarkable when the life and teachings of Jesus the Christ jumps off the pages from ancient texts and awakens a sleeping godhood within. Mother Hamilton did that for me. She made the Christ live in me and showed me the way to realize our one Father God. The power of God in her helped awaken the sleeping God in me, and for that she has my eternal gratitude. Mother took me on such a tremendous journey, physically demanding, mentally exacting, emotionally expanding. In short, it tested me in every possible way and in more ways than I could have ever anticipated. From the mystical crucifixion of the physical, energetic, and mental, each stage carried with it its own tests and its upliftment. Surely there is no greater challenge and no comparable reward. Jesus came in a line of perfect incarnations that our Heavenly Father has sent to us, to show us the way back to Him. We err when we make a God of one of these incarnations and neglect the primary message that the same God is in us as in Him. Clarify that message. God and the kingdom of heaven are to be found within you, and you have unraveled untold misunderstandings. Let us prove to ourselves the truth of these teachings on this Easter day and every day by going within and realizing the great reality waiting to resurrect itself in you. Words do not do it. Reading will not get you there. Only by living the life will you come face to face with the living Christ. I think that's perfectly true. All the masters have come here to awaken the sleeping God in all of us. One cannot be blamed if they do not have God experience, not believing in a higher power. For that, we need to have that awakening experience. Then suddenly it's as if the scales fall off of our eyes, and we see the world in a brand new way. As Papa talked about in his universal vision, God is then revealed behind every face, everything, in all of creation. It's such a tremendous experience and something that has to be earned. I'd like to read from a talk that Mother gave on Easter service, 1973. This is the day which brings the heralding of the good news of the risen Christ within every man. People have this faith, this belief, that Christ existed 2,000 years ago, and in the form of one individual, Jesus of Nazareth. But as man comes into a higher realization, he realizes that it applies not to just one man who lived 2,000 years ago, but to himself and to everyone who is on the spiritual path. When the time for arising comes, Mother then reads from an article by Wilfred A. Peterson, The Art of Believing, and he quotes from Emerson, "All that I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all that I have not seen. All that I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all that I have not seen." Isn't that wonderful? You think about nature, all the things that we see, the marvelous human instrument, and everything that happens is so miraculous. And so even the things that we see is made by a master architect, and therefore we can trust things that we have not seen. Peterson continues, "Believing is a daring adventure into the unseen. It is a radiant faith in the unexplored, the undiscovered, the miracles of the future. There is a magic in the art of believing. Believe. Engrave these words of the Master in your memory. All things are possible to him that believes. Believe. Believe that the limitless supply of God's goodness, the universe is filled with more wonders than you can imagine. Believe. Project a mental picture of your goal in life. Believing is a creative force that brings the visible out of the invisible. You must believe to achieve." That's a tremendous statement. Project a mental picture of your goal in life. Believing is a creative force that brings the visible out of the invisible. There is a mental magnet within you that attracts to you what you are. Doubt attracts doubt, and faith attracts faith. Believe. Excuse me. Believe that you are big enough to master any problem, that you can handle life. Believe that you can go on growing now and through all eternity. Drive a stake far out in the universe, believe. Mother continues, "We must take things on faith to start with, because we, in our ignorance, in our lack of understanding, and specifically of knowledge and realization, cannot see the end of things. And that is the way that it is meant to be, because the way of the cross and the Christ is certainly not an easy one, nor said that it is. Because it is the total crucifixion, the total transformation of the human ego. This is not an easy thing to do, because this ego is embedded so deeply within man's consciousness, within his habit patterns, his actions, that he thinks he is separate from God, when in truth he is part and parcel of the divine that dwells within himself. He is not taught, when he is small, that Christ resides in him, in the body of flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The infinite Spirit takes on a garment of flesh, and it comes into the earth to go through all the experiences which are necessary to bring us to the realization of our oneness with God. And the most wonderful thing is to become aware now, this moment, to believe, to have faith that it is true now. We don't have to wait for it. It is here with us. But man goes through all of these things. He goes through the crucifixion on his own cross, which is his own body. He goes through all the various experiences that are described in every living scripture in the world. There is no scripture of any of the great religions does not describe minutely and in detail every bit of man's life as he ascends from the human to the divine. But it comes to this point of higher realization, when man has left the orthodox faith behind himself. He has reached out for something new, because he has been given all of these promises of what is going to happen, the second coming of Christ, the end of the world, and it keeps on going on forever, and nothing happens any differently than it did before. We are told in Colossians that the Christ is the firstborn of every creature. We are told that the body is the church, and Christ is the head of it. As I have said many times before, you have but to read the Bible, if you have any knowledge of yoga at all, and you will know that Christ was the greatest yogi who ever lived. I am so glad that I went through the experience of the crucifixion, for I know now that it is my body which is the cross. As I am, each of us are made in the form of a cross, and upon this cross that the human ego must be transformed. You see, the way of the cross and the Christ is the way of atonement. And if you atone for the things you have done against the law of God, then you will have at-one-ment with Him. The same word takes care of both things. Atonement means at-one-ment. If you see it spelled out, you see that atonement spells out at-one-ment. It is a difficult path to go through, but I'm so glad that I did. I know what it means to bleed on my own cross because I went through the baptism of blood. I could hear the blood running in my veins, just like wine being poured into a cask. And I was tied to a bed at the time, both of my arms and my feet. And I tried to switch my body from one side to the bed to the other. It's a compulsion, and yet I was not permitted to do that. And yet I had this tremendous compulsion. You see, I had to loosen the atomic structure of... You have to loosen the atomic structure of your body. So that's why you dance sometimes. You sing sometimes. You move the body in ways you are directed in order that this may transpire. At times I was crawling on the floor. Other times I was dancing. Other times I was singing. And everything had to be just right. The steps had to be within a certain radius. The tones of voice had to be exactly right. Otherwise, I might not accomplish my purpose. So I had to listen very closely to the direction that came from within. But God directed me every inch of the way. But I am so glad that I went through it, because I tell you the truth, the cross truly is your own body. I try to inspire you to pick up your cross and follow the Christ, in order that you might be his disciple. It's the greatest act that any human being can put forth from himself. I can tell you from my own experience that this is true for me as well. There are times when God made me dance and move in particular directions and sing as well, and the voice had to be exactly at the right pitch. Otherwise, I was corrected about it. And when I was made to move, I had to move in this direction and that direction, so many cubits to the left, so many cubits to the right. And it wasn't always in an easy situation. Sometimes this tremendous spiritual force would take me over. And I remember one time I was down at Elliott Bay Bookstore. And I was looking for some books there. And suddenly this force took me over. And I had to move this way, and then that way, and then I had to turn around, and then I had to go up the stairs part way, then I had to go down, back down another way. And I was consciously aware that I was in this store, and what would people think of me doing this? And somebody might come over and question me, and what would I say? But I surrendered to it, totally. And nobody ever approached me. Nobody came close. Maybe they were afraid to. I don't know. So this force took me in very particular directions. Another time I was at the store that was called then the Bon Marché. And I was there with another person, and I didn't know where the other person was. And this force took me over, and it put me on the escalator, and I went up. And at each floor I had to go out and turn in certain directions. It sounds crazy, but it's something that I just had to do. God inside was directing me. It felt like a magnetic force that was pushing me and directing me. And I finally got up to the third floor, and I was put in a position, and I just was made to stare in a certain direction. And the person that I was there with suddenly came out of a dressing room that I had no idea where they were at the time. So these are the kind of things that can come to you. And sometimes it demands your total surrender when it happens. One time I was meditating on my meditation blanket on the floor, sitting in half lotus, and I was made to go out and put my body out in the form of a cross, my feet down together, my arms stretched out each side. And then this magnetic force took me over and made me arch my back, and just my head and my hands and my feet were touching the ground. It's not a position I could have ordinarily done. And this magnetic force made it possible. And so as I stretched out, God was telling me, this body is the cross. So all of these experiences I was made to go through, and God was teaching me each step of the way. I was surprised at many of the experiences, how physical they were. And I thought, well, it's teaching this physical mind that these things are real. It's not just some vision that I see, but this body was put through so many things. I didn't have that experience of hearing the gurgling of blood from one side to the other, but I felt the transference of my heart go from the left side to the right. And in the Bible it said, a fool's heart is on its left, a wise man's heart is on its right. You're being transferred into the astral body from the physical. This is in the second experience. So you go from the physical body, you first go through the physical crucifixion. That happens at the heart center. And that happened when I was living up in Bellingham. And it was the opening up of this heart center, and it was very painful at the time. And God put me through that so that this heart center might be opened once again, where before it had been like something entombed, and allowed that Christ love to come out through my heart. These things are not just fanciful. They're the things that happened to me, and I can tell you that they're the truth. And Mother confirmed that once when she was ordaining me and saying that I had gone through almost every experience that she had at the time. I had much more to go through at that time. That I know. I wasn't all the way there. We have to be exacting spiritual scientists from that standpoint. We have to go all the way. And that means total and complete surrender to God. If we don't do that, then we get sidetracked along the way. And you see that with certain spiritual teachers. They have something. They're able to attract people to themselves. And yet we come to find out they weren't really living the life. They were having sexual affairs. They were using powers. They are on lower planes of consciousness. And this is a shame, because many people who follow them then get this, they feel disappointed in it all. And they'll turn away and go some other direction, perhaps back into the world, because they put their full belief and faith in a spiritual teacher who wasn't what they should be. So in order to go the whole way, we have to surrender ourselves, heart, mind, and soul. We can't keep anything for ourselves. This is the truth. And then we give our lives to God, and He takes it, and He uses it in any way He chooses. When I had this stroke recently, I realized this is the next stage that God was taking me to. It's an experience He's putting me through for His own reasons, for His own purposes. I haven't had any fear through it all. I just had a focus that I wanted to do His will. And the great thing about that, if you're not filled with doubt and you're not filled with worry, but you're only focused on what your task is, you're so much more enabled to be able to do what it is that He wishes for you. And so this body has gone through a recovery that people here can't really believe. The physical therapist said, when you first came in here, I would have never believed that you would be walking by the time you left. And yet every day for this last week, I've been walking. Not every day, but several days. It's been with assistance and with a cane, but I've been walking. And she said, I wouldn't have believed it at the time because you had no use of your left side whatsoever. And this morning I was able to pick up my knee while I was laying in bed. That I had not been able to do yesterday. And I was able to pick up my entire leg and lift it up. And I hadn't been able to do that yesterday. So we keep a list of miracles every day. And those will definitely go on our miracle list for today. So it's a wonderful way to start Easter morning. An arising of a leg, if not the whole body. So I'm getting stronger. And it's due to God and Guru's grace and your prayers and my will. And my will is to do God's will. I haven't felt that I have any will of my own, that my life is God's all the way through, and that's been true for some time now. And it's a wonderful life, it really is. No one should ever feel sorry for this body or what it has to go through. Because it is God who is guiding and directing it. God gave me the image one time that he's writing with a beautiful writing instrument, a pen, and it flows smoothly over the paper. And if the pen is totally surrendered to the hand, then it's a pleasure for both the pen and the hand to be writing in the book of life every day. And if the pen has its own mind of what to do, then it makes a mess of things. And things don't get written out as they should be into the book of life. We should each feel that we are that perfect instrument. First of all, we have to make contact with God. To do that, we have to meditate deeply. We have to pray to him. We have to chant his name. And when he deems the time is right, then he will lift us up into his divine consciousness. I remember in the year 1976 that I was given that experience of the Kundalini coming up. And it's such a powerful thing that there's no denying that it was something far beyond myself. It shot up right from the base of my spine, right up to my medulla, and then shot straight across through my brain to the third eye point, and it just riveted me there like a powerful magnet. And it kept me there for some time, and gradually it began to release me. And that was just the beginning of things. So how long does it take for us to go through this complete experience? Some of it depends on us and our focus, our attention, our will. Some of it depends on our karma and what it is that we have to go through. One thing that we can know that everything we go through is something that we have earned at some time or another, and that God will take us on this tremendous journey, this tremendous adventure, and we should feel grateful when he does. We have become one of the chosen then, and it doesn't mean that we're above anybody else. It just means that God deemed that this is the right time to choose you. And it's not anything to be afraid of, because God will take care of you at every step of the way. He will guide you. Mother tells these experiences. I used to think she must be the greatest salesman in the world, because she would say, you will go through this crucifixion, it will be painful, and you will die. Now who wants to sign up? And I thought, you have to be a great salesman to get anybody to go and follow that. But I did. And I'm so glad that I did. I feel privileged that I did. Why did God choose me? I can't say. There's nothing extraordinary about me at all. I was an average student. I was an okay athlete. I was a worldly person by and large. And yet at some point, he decided to pick me up. I didn't even want to be on the spiritual path. I fought him about it. I just wanted an ordinary life. But he wouldn't have anything to do with that. So he picked me up and he started these transformations. It goes into the very cells of your being. You feel it. you feel that divine consciousness, that divine force going into every part of you, every cell of your being, and it purifies it. Suddenly you are going with a higher vibration, and that light is inside of you, and it begins to emanate and go out from you. And so don't be afraid of this. Feel yourself to be counted among the few, so that you might know in reality that these experiences are true, that everything that Mother teaches is true. That I can tell you. She didn't sugarcoat things. She didn't know about many experiences that God was going to take her through. And so she wanted us to all know. So there's no doubt in our minds that when she takes us through these experiences, that it's God who's directing us. We haven't gone mentally insane. We're certainly out of step with the world in that sense. But I worked through all of those years. It wasn't always easy, and I didn't do it always perfectly. But it's really quite something to have these powerful forces at work inside of you and to be carrying on an ordinary life in the sense of working and taking care of obligations that are part of this world. Mother always taught us balance. I remember one Easter, we were at the meeting at the church, at the congregational church, and we were going to have a potluck downstairs. And not all of the tables had tablecloths, so I sent back to my house in order to get some sheets that would act as tablecloths. And I got there, and I got in front of the cupboard that held all the sheets, and God just hit me with such a tremendous force, I just had to sit down. And then later on, I came back into body consciousness, so it took me much longer than what anybody thought it should. And when I came back, I didn't come back with flat sheets. I came back with fitted sheets that weren't going to work at all, of course. So these are the kind of things that God takes you through. And it's very humbling. And he humbles you right down to dust. And that's a good thing. Because there's no room for the ego. As long as there's ego there, God can't fit in. Because ego will take up the whole space of your heart, of your mind. You have to empty yourself of that completely. And yet we attend to the things of this world as best we can, because that gives us balance. So we work at that. And I know when God takes you through these experiences, he will guide you perfectly, and you will find that place of surrender to him. And you can proceed without any fear whatsoever, without any doubt. Now, those things do come up because his mother talked about going through the mystical crucifixion. It's duality. And if you think of your spine and the six different centers going up your spine, each one has a positive, each one has a negative. So Judas is on one side, and he's the doubter. He's wedded to humanity. And then Peter is on the other side. Peter is the rock. That is that certainty that comes to you when you get a revelation from God and you know that it's the truth. His revelation was that Jesus is the Christ. He is that one who has attained that Christ consciousness. He is now a son of God. You see, you go from a son of man when your consciousness is primarily with your body and with the things of the world. And then you become a son of God. And this is a great transformation. And it's not just one son of God. Every human being has that capacity. And it's what we're here for. It's what you are here for, is to achieve that Christ consciousness. So let us be inspired by today. Let us go out and really go to work on ourselves, to talk to God, to pray to him, to surrender ourselves to him, to chant his name, to to meditate deeply upon Him until we have touched that divine consciousness. Master used to say, when other people quit meditation, I'm just getting started. Because he'd say, don't stop meditating until you have touched God. That means you feel His presence, you feel that upliftment, you feel that peace, that joy that only comes from God. And don't stop till you have it. Now, because we have busy schedules, we're not always able to do that. But make some time during the week, when you have a day off, that you're going to meditate longer. There is something, it's not just putting in time. You have to put in time and concentration. There is something about longer periods of time. I thought about it one time, like somebody in a diving bell going down into the ocean. It just takes time to go from one thermal layer to another to finally get down to the bottom. You get resistance at those thermal layers. And then you drop down and you go through the next layer and the next and the next. But the pearl of great price can only be found at the bottom of the ocean. So you have to put in that time in order to get there. But it has to be value time. You can't just be sitting there letting your mind wander here and there and think that you're going to get anywhere. But you also shouldn't concentrate in such a way it gives you a headache or that you're all tensed up. If you think about a time in life when you've been in love, you don't have to discipline yourself to think about the one that you love. You just do. You almost cannot not think about them. And so you think about God being your beloved, and it's a pleasure to think on that. You want to have that experience. You're enamored with Him. And if you're not, then you pray to Him until you feel that magnetic draw towards Him. And then it's not such a thing as a discipline. It's just really keeping your mind focused where you want it to be. It's so much easier to have divine love than it is to be a disciplinarian. When you have divine love, that's exactly where you want to be. You don't want to be anywhere else. So pray to God for that divine love, so that you might feel it deep in your heart, so that you might be drawn to Him like a magnet. You don't want to be anywhere else, just there. Ramakrishna used a kind of a racy analogy. He said, you know, it's like a woman who's having an affair. She has her husband and children at home, but she's thinking about the one that she's having the affair with. So she's always thinking of him, even though she's carrying on the task at home. So that's quite a thing for a saint to say. But he was like that. He used analogies that everybody could relate to and understand. He is a tremendous God-man. We've had the privilege of having so many great God-men and God-women in our lives. If not personally, then those that we have read of. Mataji and Anandi Moyama, Papa and Master, and so many that we can be inspired by. But it doesn't do any good just to read a book. You just read a book, you might feel inspired for a little bit. Master used to say, for every hour that you read, meditate for 2 hours. So meditation can be tough, and there's no doubt about it. Even Krishna said it can be tough to tame the mind. But there's a transformation that you go through. Suddenly you feel that magnetic draw towards God. Then it's not difficult anymore. Then your mind is just right there. Your breathing is right there until you're not breathing anymore. I remember those times when I would suddenly become aware. I can't remember the last time I took a breath and I realized I was in a breathless state. I wasn't aware of it all the way through. It wasn't big and dramatic. It was natural, just sliding into it. And suddenly I was aware, it's been some time since I've taken a breath. And then a breath would usually come in about that time. So just know that I'm thinking about you and that you are in my love and in my heart. And I send out those Christ vibrations to you, that you may feel that upliftment even as I feel it here. You know, whatever the condition the body is the spirit. It doesn't have to be conditioned by the body. That's the material mind that thinks that way. So we think of ourselves, and we think of that Christ spirit, and we can commune in God. We don't have to do it on a psychic level, that's a lower level. But when you're focused on God, somebody will come to mind, God will bring them to your mind. And suddenly you feel that close connection with them. And you can discern things about them. And because God has given me this role to do, I can pick up on what people are doing from great distance. And it's not because I'm being nosy. It's because God has given me that task. And I'll know when somebody's making spiritual progress and when they're going backwards. And so what I want for all of you is for you to make that steady forward progress so that you will know the bliss that I'm feeling right now. You will know that upliftment. You will know that light. You will know that peace and that joy. That is Christ consciousness. And it permeates this entire creation. And it permeates you. It's the firstborn of every creature, it says. And so it's the most inborn part of you. There's original sin, but before original sin, there's original innocence. There's original Christ consciousness. So don't worry about the things that you've done wrong in life. Just get yourself right back on the track of doing what is good and what is true. That's what we can do in any moment. It's the highest thing, and dedicate ourselves to God. So I miss seeing you all. I miss your potluck today. And I miss the Easter egg hunt. It's so cute to see the children out doing that. I'll tell you something kind of funny. At our other house, people used to bring real Easter eggs, and they would hide them everywhere. There's no guarantee the children would find them. So in August, I would find some Easter egg hidden out underneath one of the bushes. Not always a pleasant thing to find, but it was good. It would always remind me of Easter and the children in their dresses and little suits out there hunting for the eggs. So I wish you a very happy Easter, and most of all, that you find the fulfillment of Christ's promises. Lo, I am with you always, as he truly is. And that we might know God even as he knows God. He didn't come here to be worshipped as a God. He never intimated that. What he wanted was for each one of us to feel God. And that was true of Master and Sri Yukteswar, Lord Himasha, Babaji, and Mother. They don't want to be worshipped as people. We can use them as inspiration. And certainly grace comes from them. So that's a wonderful thing. Down at the garden here, we have a beautiful St. Francis statue. And so we're able to go down there every day, and we pronoun to him and ask for his blessings for all the people being healed here at this hospital. It's a fairly big complex here. And so there are so many people. And we pray that he blesses all the caregivers as well, so that everybody is lifted up in that light, in that love, in that perfection of God. You know, Jesus said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." How in the world could we ever achieve that level of perfection? It would be impossible, except that he makes us perfect. We touch the fabric of God, and grace comes to us, and we feel that perfection come into us, not because we've achieved some level of ego perfection that we think is perfect. We feel that it is perfect because it is God's perfection, and it is perfect, and it transforms us into his likeness and his image. Isn't this a tremendous story? Tremendous story. And it's something that has to spread all over this world so that everybody comes to realize that the Christ is in them So may the Christ be risen in you today, on this Easter day. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to the light. May God and Gurus bless you, now and always. May Christ ever inspire you to rise up into new heights. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. All of my love and blessings.